lights, please? And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Well, good morning, Discovery Church, and Merry Christmas! Let's just celebrate the birth of our Savior and sing of all that He's done for us. The shepherds came to see the baby, stood by His mother's side. He laid the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know the Lord has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. Yeah. They couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on the glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King.
Discovery Church. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody that is here in-house and online. Let's welcome all of our visitors this morning. It is so good to see your smiling faces and be able to worship with you this morning. Let's welcome everybody online as well. I know that there are folks who are out today, maybe sick, maybe just at home enjoying the Christmas PJs and watching online. But I just want to say welcome. Today's going to look a little bit different. It's going to be a little more worship, a little bit more testimony. There's going to be some things that we do today that aren't going to look like the normal service because we get to celebrate today. Amen? So as we worship, it's not going to be up and down, but as we worship, feel free to stand and worship with us. But as you hear testimony from the people that talk about what the Lord has done in their lives, listen to what Holy Spirit is telling you, okay? This is a time for personal reflection. This is a time to celebrate. You know, 1 John 3:8 says, "For this reason the Son of Man was brought into the world, to destroy the works of the enemy." So today we get to celebrate your victory. Your hope was born today. Your King was born today in humility and in such an intimate way to get to know the frailty of humanity so that he could be an example for us. So I'm going to pray real quick and then we'll get back into worship, but I just wanted to say this morning. Celebrate the win. Your hope has come. All right? So Father, I just thank you so much for every single heart in this room. I thank you for the love that you have for everyone that we can barely fathom, that you came to celebrate. You came to conquer everything that plagued us to be able to save us. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I never really put these stories in this kind of context where they're so closely related. And if you think about it, they're closely related because the story is all the same. It's all about the birth of Christ. It's all about Mary and Joseph bringing the baby into Jerusalem and, you know, and shepherds and all of that. And so,
yeah, I think the significance of going about your day casually and an angel appearing.
Yes.
Is, I just want to see it almost like how The Chosen did it, but more in like how absolutely terrified it says that the shepherds were.
Yes.
But getting back to sort of the beginning of the story, they're just out tending their flock at night. And to me, the indication around that is that these weren't people that were wealthy. These were people that they had to work.
Yeah.
They didn't have servants. They didn't have anybody to go out there and do it for them. They had to go out there. They had to put their hands on to the field, so to speak, mm-hmm. and had to get all the work done themselves. So they were probably lowly, lower class in that sense. And I think often we sort of attribute the humbleness or the meekness to that class. And later on, as Jesus is teaching, the fact that he went to those types of people is yeah. profound. And I think that these being the first people to bear witness outside of Mary and Joseph to the birth of Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, is intentional. It's fully intentional.
Absolutely.
To the narrative of why Jesus was born in such a lowly birth in a place like Nazareth. And even the sort of stories surrounding the idea of being a Nazarene and that these were shepherds in that area probably speaks to them being lower class as well. But they're just out in the fields at night, and an angel appears suddenly and stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And I just think of what that was like. I don't know if this is probably nothing like it, but it was dark because it was night. And sometimes like your vision's not at best at night mm-hmm. and get a little bit disoriented sometimes. And that feeling of adrenaline, I was walking in my house. This actually happened probably about a week ago. It was late at night. All the lights were off and I got up and I was walking through the kitchen and I looked up and I was walking into my stairs because the way my stairs wrap around and I didn't even see them, like the corner of the stairs. And in that moment, because like it startled me because it was like, I didn't know that it was there. And I just sort of like, and my heart just started racing, like yeah. pounding in my chest. It was kind of like an eerie feeling. I think about the adrenaline that they had, just not even being able to comprehend what it was like to see an angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shining on them.
Yes.
And the angel, the first thing that scripture records that he says is, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly appeared with the angel. This is like the most amazing
angel,
thing in the world.
If one angel wasn't enough, we got to have a whole throng of them, man.
A multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Just an incredible sight to behold. I can't even comprehend it. But the thing that I wanted to point out is that it says specifically that they go in a hurry or they make haste
yes.
to go and find Mary and Joseph. They were eager to go discover what this angel was talking about. So many people later on questioned who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And I think one of the wonderful things about these stories that we're reading here is that there was no doubt. There was no yes. doubt on these shepherds.
Yeah.
And as you're about to talk about Simeon, there was no doubt whatsoever that this was the child of God, the Son of God.
We see in the scripture that after the shepherds go and see the baby, the next part of the story is the baby 8 days later being circumcised. And I kind of always thought that Simeon was the guy that did the circumcising because he was in the temple. But no, this is really, according to the Levitical law, she's 8 days later is when they would circumcise little boys. And then she would have to wait another 33 days before she could actually go. It was called the time of purification. She would be considered unclean. So it was like 33 days later, she went to the temple, and that's where it picks up with the story. Verse 22 of Luke 2 says, when the time came for Mary and Joseph to do what the law of Moses taught about being made pure, that's the purification thing, she had to go and show herself there. They took Jesus to present him to the Lord. I'm reading from the New Century Version. And scripture says, it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be given to the Lord. And so Mary and Joseph also went to offer sacrifice as the law says. And they mentioned the two doves or the two pigeons. And so in verse 25, it says in Jerusalem, there was a man named Simeon. It's interesting. I had somebody this last week tell me, I don't even know who Simeon is. What is that? What's that all about? You know? And so he was a good man, a godly man. The Bible says he was just and righteous. He was a good guy. And it was indicating probably this story kind of lends itself that he was an older man. So we don't really know his age, but indicates that. And he was waiting for the time when God would take Israel's sorrow. And that whole phrase right there, man, I could preach for hours just on that phrase. One translation says that he was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Now, that word consolation is the same word used later on for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's parakletos or paraklesis or whatever. It's this idea that God's going to bring something beside them. And in this context, it's going to be Jesus. So he goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit was in him. And Simeon had been told by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he saw the Christ promised to the Lord. So the Spirit led Simeon to the temple. It says three or four times there, Holy Spirit was involved in this, letting him know because he had the Spirit of God in him. And so when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple to do what the law said they must do, Simeon took the baby in his arms. And I love what he says. We're talking about the response of the shepherds. Man, they were just like, let's go see this thing that's happened. Simeon's kind of on the other side of it. He's waiting for this thing to happen. And there it is right in front of him. It's just amazing. He says, now you can let me, your servant, die in peace, he says. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. That's super significant, man, because he said, he goes on, it's a light for non-Jewish people to see and an honor for your people, the Israelites. So he's recognizing, he's standing in the temple, a Jewish temple, recognizing that this baby has come to save the whole world, not just Jews. I imagine he got a few looks at that. Like, what's he talking about? I don't get that.
What did he just say about these Romans that are persecuting
Wait a minute.
Us?
No. We can't do that. So,
this taxation that we can afford.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what he said, and Simeon blessed them. And then he gives them this blessing. I don't know if you've ever received like a blessing from somebody or whatever, where they just maybe put their hand on your shoulder and say, I want to bless you in this. But this old man in the temple is just loving on them so much. He says, God has chosen this child to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel. And then he will be a sign from God that many people will not accept. And then he says, and the things that will happen will make your, he talks to Mary, he says, your heart's going to be sad as well.
I think for both of these stories, there's kind of different things we can draw on. For one, I think with the shepherds, there was that initial fear.
Yes.
And I think that that's true for a lot of people in coming to Christ, regardless of whether you were brought up in church or you're coming into it later in life in adulthood. And we've all got baggage and we've all got our filthy rags, so to speak, you know. And there's that sense of just overwhelming fear. And I think a healthy fear, a fear that gives God reverence in recognition for who he is good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that voice.
Yeah.
Don't fear.
Yes.
You know, at the same time, it's recognition of who God is and giving him that glory and praise and respect.
Yes.
But also recognizing that underneath that authority is a desire to have a relationship.
Yes.
And
so true.
Getting to that relationship is just a wonderful thing. And I think right after that, don't fear was just overwhelming excitement.
Yes.
I mean, they ran to go see Jesus.
Yes.
To go see what this angel was talking about. And I think that that initial zeal, a lot of times we have that when we first come to Christ.
Yes.
And then after we behold Christ and after we have a taste of grace and after we kind of start that journey, we can kind of taper off a bit.
Yeah.
And so I think a lesson in that for me is don't lose that zeal.
Absolutely.
Don't lose that excitement. Don't lose that awe.
I just know that those are two really strong points to make, that we get past the fear and we get to the point that we anticipate. And just because Jesus came years ago doesn't mean that we don't anticipate.
Right, we're still waiting.
We're still waiting. In fact, a lot of people call this time of the year Advent.
Right.
The Advent literally means awaiting. And so I just want to turn the camera a minute and just say, you know, what are you waiting on? I mean, do you have the initial fear like we talked about, or is it something you think about anymore, or is it maybe you've plateaued? I don't know where you are in that. But what an encouragement these stories are for us to just go, just move. I mean, almost like the shepherds, especially, were like let's just go see, you know. I challenge you just to go see, just to come and see, what Christ has for you.
Fulfill the law. Joseph were just regular people. I mean, Mary was a basic teen girl, probably between 14 and 16. And she just kind of was just a simple woman. Like, she was betrothed to a man named Joseph, and that's kind of where the story picks up.
Yeah, and we don't know all that much about Joseph, but he was likely older than Mary, possibly in his 30s. And we do know he was a carpenter, so worked with his hands. Could have included general handyman jobs as well, but man of the trades.
Yeah, and so Mary and Joseph were basically considered husband and wife at that point because betrothed was like a step more than an engagement, but not yet married.
That's right.
So it was a big deal.
And big deal.
A sacred bonding at that point. So our story really picks up when the angel appears to Mary, and I think everyone knows the story. The angel comes and is like, "You're gonna have a baby, and it's Jesus, the Son of God." And I don't know, if an angel came to me, I would be like, "Whoa, take a step back." But when we really start to study and analyze how Mary responded to that, she really was, well, at first she was greatly troubled, and it says so in Luke. She was she was greatly troubled, but I don't think for a second she really doubted that this was God's plan.
How can you doubt that when the angel shows up in your living room?
Exactly. And she was kind of just like, "Oh, then I am a servant of God. So who am I to stand in God's way? Like, let it be so." And I think that that's really a cool part of showing who Mary is and her humility to accept that and just step back and let God work.
Right.
Yeah.
And Joseph didn't get the news until later. We don't know if Mary tried to explain it to him, but either way, he saw what was happening and was like, "That's not exactly right."
No, not.
The Bible describes Joseph as a just man, so he did what he thought would be best. He was planning to divorce Mary quietly because betrothal required divorce. It was a legal binding, essentially.
Right.
He's going to put her away quietly because, the punishment for adultery was stoning to death. So he was looking to keep Mary safe, protect his own reputation, the family's reputation, doing what was right in his eyes as best he could, and until the angel had to come and explain it to him as well. He didn't get the open visitation, but he got it in a dream. The angel came, and the Bible says that he was still considering what to do when the angel came. In his sleep, the angel explained, "This child is of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of what God's doing. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." And then it said when he woke up, he went and did it. We don't know if they got married the next day or if he just had decided in his mind, but
he was committed at that point.
He was committed,
And I think the coolest part of both Mary and Joseph is they were both obedient in their own ways. But Joseph taking Mary as his wife, even with the risk of whatever the reputation would be and Mary being pregnant out of wedlock, but Mary also just submitting herself to God in a humble way of saying, like, "Okay, like I am your servant." Like, she, if we read the Song of Mary, she's just praising God the whole time. Like, you would think that she might have a little bit of pride from, you know, carrying the Savior of the world in her womb, but no, like, she was so humbled by it and glorifying God even through her unknowns. Like, she didn't fully grasp the whole picture of what was going to happen, and neither did Joseph, but they both were obedient and glorifying to God through that experience.
Yeah, and we see a shift in priorities in both of them, with Joseph shifting from what he had planned to do and what he thought would be right, just all into what God had, and his priority became executing the plan of God.
Right.
To everything he could do, the full extent.
Right, just totally 100% surrendering and submitting to that. And I really think a lot of people, personally for me, I haven't done a lot of reading on Mary because we all just assume she's the mother of Jesus. Like, we just know who she is. But it's like we said, they were just regular people who were just following God the best way they knew how. Mm-hmm. And I really think they're such relatable characters when we start to really dig into who they are.
Yeah.
Like Mary, I, just being a teen girl now, thinking like, how would I respond to that? How do I respond when God moves in my life and it becomes evident? And it really is like oh, I'm not as willing as Mary was at times. Like, mm-hmm. we fight God on that. We want our own timing. We want our own priorities. We want mm-hmm. things to go the way we want, that control. But when God comes into our life, like, who are we to step in the way? Yeah,
and we don't get the angel visitation.
No.
Maybe some people do, but I've never seen an angel. And he never came to me with God's plan in a short little message.
Right.
But there are other ways that God speaks through people, through his scripture, through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it may not be always as obvious, but God's always willing to speak and ready to use you in his plan.
Right. It's our job to listen.
Yes, be sensitive to it.
And I think that's also a cool thing I took from Mary and Joseph, is they both listened. Like, you read Joseph in the dream and Mary standing before this angel, like, yeah. they were just so willing, and their personalities that we can see through the scripture, just so willing and obedient and mm-hmm. listening to what God had in store.
Yeah.
And following through with that.
I think a lot of that came from them knowing who God was and being familiar even with the prophecy, the promise of the Messiah.
Right.
So that when it came, they didn't have to doubt it because they knew
right.
God wants to move in this way. And here he is asking me to be a part of it. So they knew who God is and who he wanted to use and what he wanted to do.
Right.
So they were ready.
And it's just so cool. Like, they accepted it and they glorified God in
yeah.
it. And I'm like, how often do I, when God moves in my life or something in my life happens, how often do I thank God first? Like,
yeah,
and glorify him in that moment, because
yeah.
it's not my plan. Like, I had nothing to do yeah. with the good things that happened in my life. Mary had nothing to do with conceiving Jesus.
Nope.
She didn't play a part in that at all, but I just look at her and I'm like, she was such a humbled person and a servant of God, because she was just so thankful and praiseworthy towards God. And I'm like,
yeah.
wow. Like, when God moves in our lives, like, that should be my first response.
Right?
Like,
the praising
to
and the
praise
glorifying.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they took their plans and they shifted them, even though they had the good plan in mind,
mm-hmm.
the right thing to do. And we often have a good thing in our brain, the next right thing.
Yeah.
But that's not always what God wants to call us to. Sometimes, like Mary and Joseph, it's something that's going to look difficult to society or look different. It's
right.
going to be harder, ridicule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to imagine what they faced, just people questioning what happened.
Right.
What did happen?
Right.
But, and who's going to believe them when they say, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit, guys.
I'm carrying the Savior of the world in
right.
my womb.
But they went with God's plan anyway and went all in.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't hesitate once they knew it was from God.
No, no. You see God move.
You better move with them.
Yeah, go with them, right?
Right. I know. And they just didn't doubt it.
No.
And it's just like, wow. Like, I just want that.
We can be like that.
That outlook on life. Just.
Yeah.
Go all in, full surrender, and stop doubting who God is.
Yeah. Trusting the Holy Spirit, trusting who God is.
Yeah.
Knowing what he wants to do.
Because when he moves, he's going to move.
That's
it's
right.
just our job to get out of the way and listen.
It's just amazing. He wants to use us anyway.
Yeah. Just think, the simplest teen girl and a carpenter.
Yeah, just average job.
Their whole life changed.
Yeah.
And God's going to use us. God's going to use the simplest of us all just for his glory. So,
and hey, Mary got to carry the physical baby Messiah, but we get to carry the news of Messiah
yeah.
to the whole world.
And that's the greatest gift.
That's what we get to do now. That's how God wants to use us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.